Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
You may, and please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, we have a couple of special guests, a very special guest, and his mother, Andy Sorter, with his mom. And Andy Sorter is 11 years old. He's a sixth grader at Southridge Elementary in Casper. He's a former muscular dystrophy called Friedreich's ataxia. This is a deterioration of the muscle over time. This causes him to walk like he's had a little too much to drink, says his mom. He has been the Muscular Dystrophy Association Goodwill Ambassador since 2004. He helps in raising money for muscular dystrophy by visiting firemen for Fill the Boot, Shamrock Sales, Lock Up, and Telethon. They visited almost every fire station in the state. Andy is also active in Boy Scouts. He's recently crossed over from Weeblos to Boy Scouts. This is one activity he's able to do because of his limitations. Andy feels Boy Scout is an important learning tool for his life. And they're very thankful for the opportunity to come and meet with us. And this is Andy at the west side of our gallery. So let's give him a big welcome.
Andy, thank you for coming back. Andy and I had a little miscommunication. He actually was here this morning, but I wasn't getting the notification that he was. But he agreed to come back this afternoon. And Andy, again, thank you for coming by.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Pedersen.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, 58, I submit to you that in the United States, we continually have dropping standards. People settling for second best. And you say, where are you coming from, Brian? That woman in the green lowered her standards enough to marry me. I'd like to introduce you to my lovely wife, Sarah.
Thank you, Representative Pedersen. Without a doubt, you overmarried. Anyone else? We're not that order of business. Oh, pardon me. Representative Hammond.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker. Since we've had hometown day here and many people have brought their children and introduced them, I wanted to introduce someone up in the balcony who described himself as a rug rat running around years ago. It's the son of Peter Wold, Peter and Marla Wold. If you could please have Matthew Wold stand up and give him a big welcome. You'll see he's grown up quite a bit.
Welcome to the House. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before that young man sits down, I think you all need to know his father's been my campaign manager for three different times, and I really appreciate both him, his family, and his grandfather, who was also a legislator down here. His father was a legislator down here, so he comes from good roots.
That's right. Thanks again. Representative White.
Mr. Speaker, members of the body, somewhere out there I have a pledge sign-up sheet that's wandering around, and I need that back by this Saturday because I'm going to take a plunge into Huckton Pond over in Laramie for Special Olympics. So if anybody has that around, please drop that off to me. Thank you.
Certainly. All right, anyone else? Seeing none. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 452. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 58, Prison Industries Program Inmate Compensation, Ayes 30, No 0, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 453. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 24, School Finance Special Education Equipment, Ayes 30, No 0, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 454. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill list below by the vote indicated. Senate File 154, Podiatry Practice Amendments. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Aaron Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 455. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 19, State Land Trust Responsibilities. The Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bills listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 12, no 18. The Senate requests the House appoint a Conference Committee Number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 456. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 119, State Mileage Rate. Ayes 29, noes 1. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 457. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passes Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 166, Loans for Airport Development. Ayes 25, noes 5. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 458. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 232, Economic Development Excise Taxes. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, noes 2. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 459. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 121, Repeal of Term Limits. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, noes 2. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 460. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 175, TANF increase. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 29, noes 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting listed amendments. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 461. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 195, Forestry Division Appropriation. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, noes 2. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 462. Mr. Speaker, the bill just below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 201, Crime Victim Service Providers Funding. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 463. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 223, Suicide Prevention. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, no 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 464. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 237, Child Protection. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 465. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 243, Firefighters Dependents Tuition. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, no 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 466. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 251, Child Support Abatement Weekends Defined. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 467. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 253, Apprenticeship Programs. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 26, no 4. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 468. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 277, Wyoming Partnership Challenge Loan Program. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 21, noes 9. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 469, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 40, Revisors Bill. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, no 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. I jumped the gun a little bit before lunch on appointing the conference committee to Senate File 19. It hadn't been read in yet. As you all, I know, carefully listened, you know that it has been read in. So the conference committee, number one for Senate File 19, is Hageman Chair, Samuelson, and Semler. Now at that order of business, a third reading of bills and final passage. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 71.
Senate File 71, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to the administration of government, the Wyoming Community Facilities Program, being adopted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
And there is an amendment or two. Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 71. Chairman. Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I read third reading amendment number one to Senate File 71. Ladies and gentlemen, this amendment fits on page 5. It's just among all of the duties and procedure that surrounds the Wyoming Community Facilities Program. And this has to do with the actual sale of the surplus property. I've visited with several different ones, and we just felt that it be very transparent and that this be an advertised sale. And that the community at large would have an opportunity to participate in that sale, as well as any city or joint powers board or other entity. And so that's what this is doing, is putting the private sector on the same playing field as the government sector.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. About the only thing I like about this amendment is on line 6, it says the council shall adopt rules and regulations. And I believe that they've got this process down pretty well. They've been using it in business-ready communities. I just strongly feel like the communities have already paid for these buildings. They've already bonded for these buildings. They've already participated in the building of these buildings. And whether it belongs to the school district or the town, it's already a public building, already paid for by public funds. And to open this up to the private sector again, then you're asking people to compete with their own tax money for something that they've already paid for once. And I feel like with private industry, they have a whole bunch more choices than communities in very small communities that have 250, communities that have 500 people. And you know, it's not just in my part of the country that these communities exist. I'm sure that they're in just about every House district represented here on the floor. People in small communities have already paid for these ones, and some of them a great sacrifice. Let's not make them pay for it again when they're already losing their center, they're already losing their elementaries or their middle schools or their high schools as they consolidate to try and save funds as their buildings get replaced by new, smaller, more efficient ones that have less possibilities to be used as community centers. People have already paid for this one, so let's not make them pay for it the second time.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With regard to this amendment, I'm going to speak against it, but it's because of the personal experience we've had in my community. My community is one of the ones that actually had this, our middle school, and they decided that, in fact, the school board had to debate extensively. There was testimony from the community about what should happen with this property when we built a new middle school. And as we debated it in the community, had we had something like this in place, it would have taken away the flexibility of our local school board to make the decision that they ultimately made. It would have forced them to have an open bid and a sale process rather than for them to have the ability to gift it to a joint powers board and ultimately for it to be turned into a community center. Had they been forced, to have an open process and a sale than anyone could have bid, whether it be $10, whether it be thousands of dollars, and in fact come in, destroyed the old middle school, and used that very valuable property to build whatever they wanted to. Something not in the interest of the whole community, but something, of course, in the interest of that individual who could have easily outbid the Joint Powers Board. I understand what the bringer of this amendment is trying to do in terms of opening up the process, but I do believe it would in fact tie the hands of our local school boards and force them to have an open bidding process rather than giving them the option of gifting it to a local entity. And I don't think that's something that we want to do. If a local school board in fact does want to sell the property, they are not precluded from doing that from the existing language that we currently have. But this particular amendment would force them into a sale situation and they would not have that opportunity of gifting it. For that reason, I speak against the amendment and for the bill.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When we looked at a similar division of the bill yesterday, I looked at it as a friendly amendment to the bill. And at least conceptually, I don't see any reason why not giving an opportunity for private enterprise to build in a location if they so choose and go through the appropriate process to do that. In the community in which I live, we had a school building that was no longer an appropriate building for a grade school. It sat open for a number of years. Ultimately was picked up, in this case, by a church for their development, but it showed a different application than just government doing the job with an existing school building. The school district got some money for that building, so they were reimbursed for the capital cost that their citizens had put into it back then. So I think this is a friendly amendment. I don't think it'll damage our overall goal on this bill, and I'd urge your support of it.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and opposed to third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 71. The whole purpose of selling or donating these facilities is to help communities help themselves. To interrupt this process is penalizing a creative and efficient process of pooling community resources for the benefit of local citizens. I urge you to resist this amendment.
Representative? Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time? Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I think that there's nothing in this bill that says that communities or school districts can't sell these to private industry. It's just that it doesn't make them put that on the market, and people don't have to bid against their own tax purposes. But if this community isn't interested in the building, then certainly I think it should be up to the school board too. And I think it should be it would be very appropriate for the school board to open that up for bids for private industry, for private persons. But I just don't think that towns should have to bid against their own money that they've already put into these buildings to have a community center when they're losing their school.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just as a follow-up to my good friend from Carbon County, this doesn't interrupt the process. It's something new. That process isn't in place yet. That's what we're trying to do with Senate File 71, is to get a process that does appropriate things with abandoned government buildings and church or schools that are no longer in service. And I think this is an appropriate step to go through.
Anyone else for their second time? Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First off, I'll just comment on the picking up on that rules and regulations portion by the good representative from Bighorn Basin. I think that is a real important part of this. I think that the, you know, we're talking in some cases about buildings that have been there for years. And before anybody goes into them, I would suspect that the council is going to have some inspection rules and regulations. I don't think they're going to want to be passing on buildings with poor foundations, with insect problems, with asbestos, with lead paint, get into this partway into a project for that that another government agency has purchased the building and find out that all of a sudden we're looking at a lot more expense than what this gift horse actually looked like in the future. But the city, the business council hasn't been doing projects like this. The business-friendly community has been about extending infrastructure. It's been roads and pipes. It hasn't been buildings. This is an entirely new program for them. You know, one of the things that we were sent down here to do, and the people in my area said that they would like to see us to pay attention to building the economy. They wanted to see us paying attention to improving wages in the state of Wyoming. How's that done? That's done by improving opportunities for people. That's done by improving productivity. That's done by increasing the jobs out there for people. That's not done by building government. That's done by building the private sector. And all I'm wanting to do with this amendment here the reason I brought it is to encourage the body to take a look at what we can do to encourage the private sector. And I think that the least we can do is put them on equal footing with the government whenever it comes to looking at these old buildings. So that's what I brought the amendment for your consideration. And we'll see where it goes from here. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 71. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Amendment fails. We're on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 71. Chairman Lambert.
Mr. Chairman, I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 71. And I think I'll just leave it on there forever. No, I'll remove it at the appropriate time. Mr. Speaker, can I say some bad things about this bill? You know, I rise with some anxiety because it's so much more fun to get up and build a project than it is to get up and try to tear something down. And I just have the utmost respect for the sponsors of this bill. But, you know, that's not what we do here. What we do is we make laws. And what we do shouldn't be based on good intentions, but it needs to be based on the language that's printed in the bill, because that's what's going into the little green book. And that language is what I ask you to consider. I'll just go over a few points. On page 2, line 22, any qualifying community with a demonstrated need. What is that? What's a demonstrated need? How is that measured? It's not defined anywhere in there. For a community facility, including a city, town, county, joint powers board, or other local government entity, what is that? What's envisioned here? Is that the weed and pest district? Is that a water district? I have no idea. Page 3, line 9. Grants and loans can be recommended by the council and awarded by the SLIB board for what? Economic development, community, facilities, projects. Why, if we would have put kitchen sink in there somewhere, we may have been able to include just about every possibility. I look down and see what these projects are. Space for community gatherings. How's that economic development? Appropriate recreational and athletic facilities. Nice thing to have, not economic development. Historic preservation, cultural preservation. Other functions, none of those economic development. Then we go over to the next page and projects may consist of, and our whole idea here has been that we're going to buy these surplus buildings, but that's not what it says in this area. Line 4, projects may consist of, and then go down to line 19. Rehabilitation and enhancement of existing facilities or construction of new facilities, including recreational facilities, convention centers. Is that our intent here? I just think that this is a real wide-open bill. I think that this is a bill that is a vision that we can, that is something that needs to be worked on. But right now, we are we're entering into a whole new program that and putting the burden of making it work on the council. On page 5, I'll just point out a couple other things. After you have all your projects worked up, then finally we get to this idea on line 2 of here's these other things, but these are what are going to get the highest priority. And that's going to be some of these surplus school buildings and other government buildings. And then they say that there is a demonstrated lack of alternative funding sources. How do you determine whether there's a demonstrated lack of alternative funding sources? If you have sweetheart deals going on where the school districts or the government is giving this away to another government entity, how do you demonstrate that there's a lack of alternative funding sources? I think that this bill, Mr. Speaker, is good intentions. I just think it's an immature bill that could certainly use work on for another year and come back with something that really serves the people of Wyoming.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The bringer of this amendment is correct. It is a visionary bill. You know, if you live in the Powder River Basin, you have resources that bring people to you. People will come because the industry is there, because it's being developed. Jonah Fields, people come because of the things that are there. And it kind of puts some of the other communities at a bit of a disadvantage. If you don't have those natural resources that bring people there, what will? Quality of life. A feeling of community, the sense of belongingness. People drive through the community and say, wow, this is really clean. This is a nice place. What do you do here? Oh, nothing. We drive the buildings. We drive the coding if we want to do anything, because there's not much to do here. In our Minerals Committee, when we heard this bill, we heard from a lot of industries that said, we need constructive things for our workers to do when they're not working. We support this bill because we believe that it helps communities, because it helps us keep our people here. You know, sometimes the person who works in the mineral industry moves into a community and they start the job, and then pretty soon it's time to move the family out, and the wife moves out and she goes, no way, there is nothing to do here. There's nothing constructive to do for the kids. So why not include recreation centers? You know, if you live in the Powder River Basin and you have the industries, they support those kind of programs and those kind of buildings that happen. They make huge donations that help those kind of buildings come into existence. But in Fran, Wyoming, there's not the mineral industry. In Fran, Wyoming, they lost their elementary school. It consolidated with another school. And all they have is one building big enough to hold a carry-in dinner. One building. And what are they going to do with it? School Facility Commission wants to tear it down. And they're going to pay big money to do that. I just think that we need to have a way, before these buildings are torn down, that communities have to access those buildings that they paid for, and to be able to use them. And I think in communities where the building's been condemned and the bugs and the foundation are disintegrating, do we leave them out of this mix? No, but first we save the school buildings and the excess government buildings. I think that's very clear in this bill. I would submit to you that if you don't have the industry that brings you there, we need the quality of life and that feeling of belongingness and that feeling of community spirit that can happen when there's a place to do it. We need that in our smaller communities. We need a reason for people to live there. We need a reason for people to feel attracted to move there. And I believe that this bill could help fill that need. You know, once we get the infrastructure built, do we have a place, do we have a reason for people to be there? I think this bill is ready. I think it's time. I think if we wait another year, we lose a bunch of school buildings.
Representative Semlett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment for the bill, my good colleague from Sheridan County, he is a a man that looks at the details, and I really respect him for that, and I tend to be more of a conceptual person and like the concept that's in this bill, and I would submit that it's not totally a new concept, because even though the program is new, the means that we've had in place to look at programs like this are more familiar to us, not with being the SLIB board, which is an oversight agency. I have a great deal of respect for the program director over there and what they do in terms of close scrutiny of these types of programs. The business-ready communities, we're all getting more familiar with that, so that's incorporated, you know, in this plan. And there's the community block grants that we used for a number of years that would allow us to do this. But really, as our colleague from the basin said, the new thing about this really stemmed out of the work that we did with the, what we all referred to as the Granger Amendments last year, and trying to save these old buildings. I think really it's a stewardship for the state to take a look at some of these old school buildings, these government buildings, and instead of letting them go into demise or torn down, in our small communities like the ones in my district, it really offers an opportunity to, instead of having new construction and further encumber our state, to do a little maintenance work on some of these old buildings. You know, we're looking at an old school building in my community to put in a health clinic and a library and maybe have an all-purpose room for an old gymnasium in our community. So, yeah, the program is new, but the need is old, and I just encourage you to support the bill and not the amendment.
Representative Korber.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and in favor of the bill, for many of the reasons that my colleagues have already stated, this bill is a great complement to the Business Ready Community program, which we've all already put in place. Much of the language is the same. We have a proven track record with the Business Council in developing appropriate rules and regulations to make this program work effectively. Plus, it has the oversight of the SLIB board. So no program, no project is going to be funded without their approval. So we do have that added oversight by that board. And this bill is really about, it's a complement to Business Ready in that it maintains and or enhances quality of life in our own communities, which is particularly important for economic development. We all know that it's easier to bring in the good jobs, to retain and expand existing businesses, and to even to promote startups from within our own community if we have a good quality of life within our own communities. And that's basically what this bill is all about. It allows communities to access funds to make their communities better places to live, not only for themselves, but also for other people who will want to come in. So I urge this body to vote favorably on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Powers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and for the bill, I think what this bill does is it takes what the courts call an enhancement ready for the wrecking ball, and we change that into excess square footage, and then we change that, this bill changes it from the excess square footage to an opportunity for economic development, an opportunity for possible recreation. It gives a community an opportunity for a dream, a new beginning for that community, and on for this bill and against this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Most of the things have been said, and I appreciate the spirit of my cohort. And for my good friend from Sheridan County, I would just like to say that we did leave it as demonstrated for the need or the lack of funding, because I believe it will be obvious to both the council and the SLIP board as to the merit of each of these projects. I'm so sorry about my voice. I just want to remind the body that we did model this after the Business Ready Committee, and we spent several meetings between the Minerals Committee and with the Business Council on what the rules and regs will be, and it's really important that we leave that up to them to have that oversight and to work on those for the grants and applications. just to remind the body that since we've had business-ready communities in place, we've spent $17 million on 18 projects across the state of Wyoming in 18 counties. I think that is a celebration, ladies and gentlemen. It has been a successful program, and what this does is it separates out business readies as infrastructure, and now we're adding a new component called enhancements, and together, that is what economic development is about. And so I'll just leave it at that, and I'm against the amendment. Thank you.
And now for their first time. For their first time. Second time. Second time, Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I just felt like unable to oppose intent, which I agree with, is I think of this bill as kind of like the split estates bill that all it's had is several readings. It's a big transfer of state resources to our local communities that equals a big growth in government. And, you know, I think we need to face that straight on, that we're growing government here, and that philosophically is kind of hard on us a lot of the times who say we're trying to keep government small and manageable. This is going to be providing any government projects are a drag on the economy. And fight that as we may, they require resources coming out of the private economy to support them. And our local governments, this is going to be an added expense for them. And we can expect them to either come back here and be requesting more money in the future, or in some way trying to fund these sort of things through local taxes. So I just felt that this is a bill that hurried its way through several readings this session, and that this was an idea that could mature and grow a little bit, and I would encourage the body to vote against the bill. At this time, I will remove the amendment.
Without objection, third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 71 has been withdrawn. Senate File 71 has been read 3 separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Rechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Uholtz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Escobel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingrich. Goggles. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Pastor. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen. Excused. Landon. Latta. Excused. Lockhart. Lugno. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Pedersen. Peterson. Phil. Powers. Colbert. Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Excused.
Robinson. Samuelson. Semlich. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Hammonds? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 55 aye, 2 no, 3 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 71 has passed the House. Chairman Hageman.
Mr. Speaker, could I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce my daughter Rachel Rubino and Jim Rubino, her husband, and my two grandchildren, Sam and Joe. They're over here from Laramie to visit us this afternoon, and I'd sure like to have you welcome them.
Welcome to the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 88.
Senate File 88, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to medical malpractice claims reporting being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 88, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barner. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Buholtz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Escobel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingrey. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Pastor. Hinckley. Eichel. Illoway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused Landon. Latta excused Lockhart. Lubnow. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Pedersen. Peterson. Philp. Powers. Korberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader absent. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Are there any changes? I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 56 aye, 1 no, 3 excused.
Senate File 88, having received the affirmative vote of the members elected to the House, majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 88 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 113.
Senate File 113, introduced by Senator Massey, an act relating to health care facilities, medical safety event reporting, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 113 has been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Buholtz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Escobel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingrey. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Pastor. Hinckley. Eichel. Illoway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused Landon. Latta excused Lockhart. Lubnow. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Pedersen. Peterson. Philp. Powers. Korberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 1 no, 3 excused.
Senate File 113, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 113 has passed the House. Representative Buchanan.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, it's not often we have people down here from Torrington. It's a joke.
Yeah.
I couldn't make a living as a stand-up comedian, obviously. But today I'd like you to welcome some of my good friends from the city of Torrington, Rhonda Estes, Lynn Canan, Pam Serber, Donna Hatton, and Mayor Mike Varney and his wife Joy. They're in the South Gallery. I wanted to say that they've always provided me with some care packages while I'm down here. And so today, if you look in the break room, you've got some treats in there that you're welcome to share with me. So welcome them, please.
Welcome to the House, and thank you so much for those delicious cookies. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 122.
Senate File 122, introduced by Senator Scott, an act relating to higher education endowments account.
Senate File 122 appears to have a few amendments. For third reading amendment number one to Senate File 122, Chairman Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 122, and this is a corrected copy. Essentially what this does is try and start funding the Hathaway Plan and the Endowed Chairs Program with money that was taken from the School Foundation Fund last budget session. It would allow the Hathaway plan to go into effect on lines 20 through 25 in the fall of 2006, and it would fund it with that $23,700,000 through 2010, which we believe is the year that that amount of money flowing into the Hathaway fund will reach $400 million. The bottom on lines 26 through 29 sends $6,300,000 to the Higher Education Endowment Account, which we created within the bill in Wyoming Statute 2116-1201A. And essentially, the amount of money that is in the CSA reserve account, if you look on your goldenrod, it's on the very first page, down at the bottom, fourth line up where it says spending policy reserve account, there is $33,204,307 in that account, and $30 million of that came from the School Foundation Fund last budget session, and I will read that on page 222, Chapter 95, Section 304B. There is appropriated from the School Foundation Program account to the Common School Permanent Fund Reserve account created by Wyoming Statute 99-4713F, $30 million. And so, Mr. Speaker, what we're seeking to do is to pull that money back to the School Foundation Fund, where I feel it should have stayed, and then start funding these two programs. And so I think the original reason that the Appropriations Committee did that was to help inflation-proof the school foundation, or excuse me, the common school account, which if you look on the Simpson handout that was presented to the floor, you will see that that money down here at the bottom in the CSA reserve account flows back to the common school account. However, the inflation proofing that it was originally set up for, only $3 million has been generated in that fund. The vast majority of that corpus is from the $30 million that we appropriated from the School Foundation Program. So I would ask that the money be used for what this bill calls for, which is to, once the School Foundation Fund reaches $100 million cap, then it splits off from the budget from the federal mineral royalties and starts flowing into our Endowed Chairs Fund and our Hathaway Fund. So with that, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker, I will stand for questions on the amendment.
Chairman Phil.
Surprise, Mr. Speaker. I would urge that you defeat this amendment. You know, as the bill stands, and I sent out a handout on it, if you look at the lower far right corner of that, in 4 years, we will have $240 million accumulated in these two funds for the scholarships and the endowment. Now, to me, that seems pretty generous. That's almost $250 million. And now, with this amendment, we're going to take one of our coffee cans, and this coffee can happens to show up on the goldenrod, and we're going to seriously deplete that coffee can. I just don't think we should do that. And I urge you to defeat this amendment.
And that's for the first time, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The old third period shoot for the pin. Grind, twist your ear off and grind your head into the mat. That was better than what I had in mind, but this is a third reading amendment, and you know, I'm all for the policy of the bill, but I wonder why we have to make this change right now. And I'd like to give you just a little background on the the good chairman of the Education Committee read you, which was Section 304B of last year's budget bill. It says that was the $30 million from the school foundation program account. And if he's mad at that, about that, he should be mad at the former chairman of the Appropriations Committee in the House and not the current chairman. But it further says this subsection shall be effective only if Senate File 32 is enacted into law. And it was, and now that is Section 94713. And this is investment earnings spending policy, permanent funds. And what we attempted to do was inflation-proof both the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund and this other account. It says, the purpose of this section is to establish a spending policy for earnings on permanent fund investments to provide, in descending order of importance, consistent, sustainable flow of earnings for expenditure over time, number two, protection of the corpus against inflation, and number three, increased earnings. And then the part of the statute, subparagraph F, deals with the Common School Permanent Fund Reserve Account. And in that handout that I gave you, that just came out of the budget book that we all got before the session started, and it shows the flows from the Common School account and the Permanent Land Fund corpus. And it goes into the common school account investment. It shows the earnings, which are interest, dividends, realized capital gains. And then the policy that we set in this bill that I was just talking about set that the policy at 5% of the previous five-year average market value of the account. So then that anything over that 5%, you can see on the bottom left of that sheet, says automatic general fund appropriation. Now that's key, general fund appropriation to the common school account reserve equal to the difference between the earnings and the spending policy. So our spending policy is 5%. If the earnings are 9%, we have to make up the 4% out of the general fund. And on the goldenrod, the spending policy reserve account balance is now $33,204,370. So that means, if you look further into the goldenrod, under the particular account on page 5, it shows you this account, and it has the initial $30 million transfer in from the school foundation program, and then estimated revenue for 2005 of $3,200,000. So the way the law is set up, that $3,200,000 theoretically and practically, I believe, comes from the general fund. So, what happens then if the earnings for next year are 9%? That means 4% that is supposed to peel back in and go to the back into the common school account needs to come out of the general fund. We set up this fund to inflation-proof, and now we're going to take it out. We have well-funded this this bill and other means from federal mineral royalties. And I don't see any need to, you know, 10 months later, come back in and take the $30 million out of the account that we just put in it, when it does have a general fund impact, which then is profiled on the general fund flow. So it's a policy decision for you to make. I want you all to understand where the money comes from, why we set up the reserve account in the first place, and that we didn't do that too long ago. If you want to move it out, then move it out. But it's in there for a purpose, and it hasn't been there very long, and we should at least have these policy discussions when we switch horses in midstream. Thank you.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome this amendment because we can talk about this. I think the first question was the transfer 10 months ago proper. It was excess school foundation program money. And the statute 94713 was referenced. Nowhere in that statute does it say you should take school foundation excess money and put into this spending policy reserve account. It says specifically in paragraph G that it will be general fund money that is annually appropriated. So whether we pull this $30 million out or not, that has no effect on that. And we hope that our investment income is high enough that we can appropriate. In fact, if you look on the goldenrod, on the very front page, the bottom expenditure, if you'll look at that, it says general fund appropriations to spending policy reserve accounts. That there is the inflation proofing of it. And this year it was $16 million. $3 million of that went into the common school reserve account. So that really has nothing to do with this. That's going to continue on. That's part of the statute. But it says specifically in the statute that is going to be general fund money. Now, then the other word that was used was coffee can. And that is really the key. This is a coffee can because nowhere in this statute, you heard the intent of the statute to inflation proof, provide stable income, but nowhere in this statute, 94713, does it say that this money has to only be used for school foundation or school purposes, educational purposes. It could be pulled out for anything, to build a prison, acquire wildlife habitat, to do whatever. And so I would submit to you that if this $30 million would not have been pulled out in a budget JAC action, it would be sitting there today. It would be excess school foundation money that would then come under the purview of this Senate File 122 that I hope will pass in a few moments. And so it would be going to these purposes which the amendment would have it moved to. So I guess I would say to you that number one, was the transfer proper? And all you folks who are here for the first time and us for the second time as sophomores, I guess we have to think about that. It is a coffee can. It is school money. Some of it was common school land income money, which is clearly stated that it should be used for education purposes. But it's sitting in a coffee can right now. And how do we want to invest that? Do we want to let it sit there? Or if we'd have left it alone, it would be flowing to these purposes to ramp up this scholarship program and to also ramp up these endowed chairs. So I would urge you to accept the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Or, excuse me, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. We're playing musical chairs, I see. I rise and oppose to this amendment, but not for the reasons that have been stated. This bill is a substitute bill from a Senate bill. While the Senate sponsors think it's a great, great bill, it's still got to go back to the Senate. and be agreed. What do we call it? The conference committee? We just killed the bill on a 29-29, a conference workout. This is another arrow in the opponents in the Senate's quiver. We've got a great piece of legislation, and when is enough is enough. And so I'm concerned that this great, great piece of legislation could be put in danger by playing with the coffee can as we speak. I'd like to tell you about the coffee can, my take on the coffee can. We've just raised, I'd say, a minimum of $60 million a year, the continuing cost of education. $60 million a year, $120 a biennium. And when those foundation monies start to fall, we might be looking for some money in a coffee can to balance this sometime. So I'm not opposed to this coffee can. And I thought it was a pretty smart move. And the last one, so on and against the amendment.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. On and against the amendment, and members of the House, I do appreciate actually what the sponsors of the amendment are going to do, or trying to do. You know, we heard a lot of concern from members from other bodies when they first found out that this bill had gone into the Education Committee, and the Education Committee was really giving it a workaround and trying to change the funding source. But by the time the sponsors were through, this bill was, I believe, quoted as a stroke of genius. And I guess, you know, if you get that much praise, you're going to go for the home run, right? Knock it out of the park, so to speak. We had set up those reserve accounts a couple of years ago, specifically because we were able to do so, because we had the money to do that. And the reserve accounts are meant to be a long-term, medium-term, inflation-proofing, somewhat savings account that are supposed to back up our common school land fund as well as our permanent mineral trust fund. And they're there to provide interest income as an opportunity when interest rates are high, to pour some money back into the corpus of those two funds. There was some criticism, and I think understandably so, of where the first $30 million came from. But frankly, that was where the money was available. The school fund itself won't always be flush, I do fear. And in fact, it wasn't until I believe the last 2 years that we didn't use general fund appropriations to actually supplement the school fund, the school foundation account. And I'm guessing that in the future we will have to do that again. But one way to help slow that down, or at least delay that, is the use of these reserve funds. What we have with Senate File 122 is actually, and I'll say it again, it's a stroke of genius. I do believe it's an excellent bill, a brilliant bill. We're off to a good start. But I don't think we need to go any further than we have right now. My understanding is correct. We've actually put into place a mechanism for about $400 million for endowments and scholarships. Let's also get some of these rules and regulations. Let's set up the scholarship program so we know how it's going to work. Let's set up the endowment program so we know how it's going to work. I'm not sure we're running before we're walking, but we certainly, I think, are getting a little further ahead than we should. So speaking against the amendment. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment, mainly on a procedural thing. I know this bill was re-referred to appropriations with with the figure that was in it, and now we come with another $30 million on third reading with no reference or no re-reference to the Appropriation Committee. The procedure itself is in error, I think.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That is the question. Stroke or genius? No, seriously, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker. Representative from Casper, who is sitting to my right, is correct that
that what we have here is this reserve account. There's $33 million in it. If the amendment passes, we will then have $3 million in the reserve account. It was federal mineral royalty because those flow through the school foundation program. Well, some of it was. I'm sure there'll be somewhat of a rebuttal, but what we have done in this supplemental budget is some significant savings. These are savings. Okay, the policy question is, do we want to spend a reserve account that is intended to even out the roller coaster of interest rates or whatever it might be in our reserve accounts? As the good speaker said, it's only been the last couple of years that we haven't had to use general fund money to supplement the school foundation program. So I wish we could have discussed this more on first reading. I do have great respect for the chairman of the House Education Committee, and especially when he smiles at me the way he does, that he has right now. I want to go in the bathroom and hide. But this is the policy choice we're faced with. Whether we use that reserve or we stick with the plan that we've gone through for the last four readings, and I do believe it is a stroke of genius. It is a great bill, but I don't particularly like this amendment.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you for your help, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Off mic, he said, here, let me help you. Turns the mic off. Whether this was an appropriate transfer, I'm not suggesting that it was inappropriate. I mean, we can transfer. We're going to leave here with, while counting the money in this LSRA, if it's still around, probably $335 million in the bank. So we're, whether we could transfer that really anywhere, I guess, with one extra vote. But if you look at this sheet that was passed out from House District 24, and as this line goes back to the common school account, 75% is currently about $47 million. That's where this account's going to have to hit before it tips over into the common school account. So at the current rate of general fund appropriations from our spending policy account, it's going to take about 5 years. So it's just going to sit there and sit there and sit there. And I guess it's just a matter of how we want to take this money. And I've been on the other side of this, had people beating on my dome about, no, we should be investing in our people and this and that. But it's just a matter of if this transfer was proper, because some of it was common school land income fund, probably 15% of it. Some of it was, as the Speaker Pro Tem talked about, federal mineral royalties. Some of it was recapture money. Some of it, some of the 12% state mill that goes to the foundation program. And so whether that was proper. And if it was left alone, if that transfer never would have happened, I submit to you it would have flowed just like this stroke of genius would have it flow. So I'd encourage your support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Kelp.
Mr. Speaker, I urge you to defeat this amendment. Remember, over a period of 4 years, we're putting $240 million towards this what I would really call a noble effort. And I compliment the Education Committee for the job they've done with this bill. They really have done a tremendous job, and I think it's a great thing for the state of Wyoming. But I don't think it's a good thing at this point in time, when we're in the biggest period of prosperity we've ever had in this state, to go in and rob an account that was intended to be there when we needed the money, when we were not in such prosperous times. So I urge you to defeat this amendment and still pass the bill. It'll still do a lot for the state of Wyoming and for the students in the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Yeah.
I would like to discuss some of the sports analogies we've had here today. Like a last-second
take down with diving your nose into the mat. Sounds to me like the old basketball player from Park County missed a few hook shots in his life. And having never hit a home run, I don't know what that's like, but my sons have. I would like to talk about the stroke of genius of this bill. This amendment makes the bill even better. I would like to talk about who robbed who first. You know, this is a shootout at the OK Corral, and it seems like at this point, after 10 months of being robbed first, I'm back in the middle
of the shootout.
And I would like to state that when are we going to start this plan? When are we going to start this program? If this scholarship is so great, if the Hathaway plan is so good, then the $30 million that would have been in this account in the school foundation program is a great way to start that program. We figure that about $3.6 million per grade will be necessary. This amendment will fund the Hathaway plan until 2010. And flow $6.4 million to the endowed chairs. I think it's a wonderful stroke of genius. A bill that is made much better. That goes into place immediately. That we can go home to our constituents and say, not this coming fall, but the fall after that, the Hathaway plan will take effect. And that's why this bill, why this amendment makes it even better. The Hathaway plan won't be funded until sometime around 2010. Maybe it's 2012. Why not do it now? Why not start it now? Why not say to the kids who are juniors in high school right now that this will be there when you graduate? If you take these courses, if you score this high on the ACT, if you don't get in trouble in school, why not say it now? Why wait until the eighth graders who are sitting up in the balcony are seniors and then they graduate? That would be the class of 2009, I believe. Let's say it now. The money came from the school foundation program. It's absolutely appropriate to spend it on education needs. We remind the body that there are restrictions, statutory restrictions on money taken from the school foundation program. That it is to be spent for education purposes. And the fact that the CSA reserve account is inflation-proofing the common school account, which has almost $1.1 billion, is not true. There's only $3 million in interest that's been generated there. The reason why there's $33 million there is because $30 million was taken from the school foundation program. And it's absolutely appropriate. And I think that this is the most influential bill that we will pass this session. How soon will we put it into effect? The fall of 2006 is the best time to do it. Let's say to this year's junior class, if you have a 3.5 GPA and you score 21 on an ACT, then you will receive this money to go to college and to fulfill your dreams. This amendment is an amendment of dreams. And you're right, it is a stroke of genius and it makes the bill better. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 122. Those in favor say aye.
Aye!
Those opposed say no.
No!
Amendment fails. We're now on second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 122. The Speaker doesn't have to hear it. But if you would like to go through the embarrassment of division, we certainly will. Division has been called for. Those in favor of the amendment, please rise. Everybody's getting into it. Those opposed, please rise. The speaker almost made an incorrect call there. Second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 122. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 122. As just witnessed on this floor, a combination of diversity of ideas and amalgam of sound thinking produced this bill along with many others. Some might think too many others. What is being asked, however, in this amendment is to enhance the American Scholarship Committee with some diversity of ideas, strengthening the amalgam of sound thought necessary to the Merit Scholarship Program final product. Much of business and industry will be employers of many people that will benefit from this program. Will business and industry be the ultimate beneficiary? To some degree, sure, but the ultimate beneficiary will be Wyoming and her people. This amendment asks for two additional people from the business sector to be added to the process to determine how the program will be administered and operated. I ask your consideration.
Any other discussion? Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and obviously in favor of second reading amendment to House or Senate File 122, something that my good colleague from Deltona County might not have mentioned. Another advantage of this kind of representation on the Education Merit Scholarship Committee is that these individuals representing business and industry develop and have a lot of contacts throughout the state, communicate about their participation in these sort of exercises, and I think can greatly advocate and improve the understanding of these merit scholarships and the reasoning behind them, and will greatly advocate the purposes of the Senate file.
Chairman Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I see this as a friendly amendment.
Is there any further discussion? Question being called for. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 122, please say aye. All those opposed, say no. Amendment is adopted. Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 122. Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 122. Ladies and gentlemen, this one doesn't require quite as much critical thought as the previous amendment and the previous bill. But what it does is it goes in on page 6, on line 18, and the way it reads now just seems kind of cumbersome to me. It reads, that there's these other classes available, and one of the things it's going to do is to promote a comprehensive appreciation of quality of life. I thought, well, maybe we could say that a little bit better. And so the proposal here is to insert in their language that it'll promote an appreciation of arts, humanities, and other cultures and interests affecting the quality of life. That's the totality of the amendment.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to thank the bringer of this amendment and speak in support of it. I think it's an excellent addition, and I really congratulate the good representative from House District 30 for improving this bill. For that reason, I call for the question.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 122, please say aye. Those opposed, say no. Amendment is adopted. On third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 122. Chairman Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since I was whipped so gallantly on the First Amendment, I will withdraw the Fourth Amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 122 has been withdrawn. Senate File 122 have been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Rechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholtz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingrey, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illoway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused Landon, Latta excused Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Phelps, Powers, Horvath, Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlin, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, Senate File 122 has passed the House. Next bill for consideration is Senate File 159.
Senate File 159, introduced by Senator Boggs, an act relating to the National Guard Youth Challenge Program, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 159 have been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? The Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Rechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholtz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingrey, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hester, Hinckley, Eichel, Illoway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused Landon, Latta excused Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Horvath, Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlich, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 1 no, 3 excused.
Senate File 159, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, Senate File 159 has passed the House. Chairman Wasserberger and Representative Harshman, could you come see me for just a minute? Representative Barnard.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Representative Barnard.
Why is everyone so unhappy to see me? I didn't do anything.
Please proceed.
Thank you. On behalf of Representative Powers and Representative Peterson, I bring you Uinta County's report today. And as we come to the conclusion of another long, hard day, this will give you some happy thoughts to take home with you tonight. Uinta County in the far southwest corner of the state is county number 19. We have a three-county commission, Chairman Leonard Heisel, Bob Stoddard, and Craig Welling, and they're unable to be with us here today. Uinta County is small, the 22nd in size in the state, with only 2,086 square miles. The 2000 census estimates that we're about 22,000, and that's ninth in the state in population. Interestingly, the county has an assessed valuation of $588 million, and I noticed that's $5 million more than Natrona County. I just remembered that from yesterday. Okay. We have one city and three towns. The city of Evanston is the county seat, population 12,300. The town of Lyman, 2,000. The town of Mountain View, about 1,200. And the newest town in the state of Wyoming, Bear River, has 450 people. That leaves 6,000 people to enjoy the quiet rural lifestyle but live outside of the city and town. Uinta County has a very successful program that they run that I would recommend to all of you, is that every month the county commissioners and the mayors of the towns all get together and have breakfast, and that's fostered a real feeling of cooperation, and they exchange information and staff, and it's been very successful. Historically, Uinta County was an agricultural and a tourist place, but in the late 70s, we struck gas and oil and had a huge boom in the overthrust belt, and at that time, the overthrust Uinta County was considered to be one of the hottest gas fields in the United States. And it continues to be a big producer and the main source of revenue for Uinta County. Our reserves are on the decline, but everyone's confident now that with new technology and the price of gas, that we'll be able to enhance our reserves and will continue to be a major producer for the state tax base. We have a strong transportation base. Union Pacific Railroad goes through town. Evanston is a railroad town like many of the ones on the southern tier of the state. We also have Interstate 80 and Highway 89, 150 and 89 radiate out of Evanston and go into the Bridger Valley. We also have two very fine airports, Burns Field in Evanston and the Fort Bridger Municipal Airport. We have very excellent medical facilities with the hospital, Evanston Regional Hospital in Evanston, and there are clinics in Bridger Valley also. Of course, Evanston's the home to the Wyoming State Hospital, and as a spinoff from the state hospital, Evanston has a very large industry dealing with people or service agencies for developmentally disabled people. And it's become one of the major employers in Evanston is those who service those people. We have Western Wyoming Community College Outreach. Utah State and Wyoming have outreach programs in Evanston. And there's also a Valley Learning Center, and Evanston, Lyman, and Mountain View have excellent school districts. We have a sheriff, and each Evanston, Mountain View, and Lyman have their own police stations, but they're all covered by one dispatcher. Uinta County has a fire district in the rural area, and then a joint powers board, which joins the three municipalities into the fire district. And so all of our fire and ambulances run through the joint powers board and the fire district, and they have excellent, extremely well-equipped fire departments and ambulances. We have great recreational facilities, the Uintas, the racetrack that we talked about today. We've got Bear River State Park, Fort Bridger State Historical Site, and the annual Fort Bridger Rendezvous is the second largest outdoor event in the state every year, where between 50,000 and 60,000 people come to visit the historical roots of Uinta County. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Barnard. Mr. Chief Clerk, I believe we have a couple more messages from the Senate. Please read them.
Message number 470, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 150, Special Prosecution Account, Ayes 30, No, 0. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 471, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 112, Foreclosure Sale Proceeds. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as followed by the vote indicated, Ayes 17, No, 13. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On behalf of the Courtesy Committee, I'd like to remind the members that the Courtesy Fund fees need to be paid. We still have 8 members that need to pay their courtesy fees. We need this in so we can pay the bill.
Thank you, Representative Harvey. Members of the House, for the remainder of the day, we will do requests to concur as well as a few conference reports. And as these concurrent requests to concur come in, they come in somewhat rather quickly, and I want to make sure that we all have the same list or we're operating off the same list. So these are the following requests to concur that I would ask that we consider this afternoon. That's on House Bill 175 with Representative Chairman Osborne, House Bill 195, Chairman Hageman, House Bill 223, Chairman Osborne, House Bill 243, Chairman Wasserberger, House Bill 253, Chairman Osborne, House Bill 277, Chairman Lockhart, and House Bill 112, Chairman Landon. And I think that's all on a list that you should have. 40 will be held back for a while until make sure we've just caught all those possible errors in the statute. So we're at that order of business of request to concur to Senate amendments to House bills. First message we'll consider is message number 460, dealing with Senate amendments to House Bill 175. Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence with message number 460, House Bill 175, TANF increase. The Senate took out the funding that was in the bill on this and left in the educational piece. The sponsor and I are both okay with that, so I recommend your aye vote.
Is there any further discussion? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 175. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Bechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buholz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Dingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Pastor. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta excused. Lockhart. Lebno. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Peterson. Peterson. Filt. Powers. Forberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlick. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 175. Next message for our consideration is message number 461 concerning Senate amendments to House Bill 195. Chairman Hageman.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we do concur on message number 461, House Bill number 195. This has to do with Forestry Division appropriation. The Senate took one section back out of this bill.
On page 2, it says appropriation on this act shall be considered a one-time appropriation and shall not be considered a part of the division standard budget during the Department of Administration and Information budget preparation cycle in 2007 and 2008. Well, we kind of agree with this, taking this thing out of the bill, because we would like to see this being part of the budget each year, and so I would urge you to vote yes on this concurrence.
Chairman Felt.
Well, in appropriations, we put that amendment in so that we could at least look at this, what they've done with this program. It is a new program, and it's not that we're opposed to the program. We thought it's beneficial to put money for helicopters. It's for rapid attack on fires, rangeland and forest fires. And the helicopter would have been stationed in Casper, if I remember right. But the only thing we wanted as Appropriations Committee was that before we make it a continuing program and rolls back in the standard budget, that they come back and at least tell us what they have done with the program. So I would urge you to vote no on this, because we think that we ought to see what the results of the program were first.
So any further discussion? First time. Anyone else for the first time? Second time, Chairman Hageman.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I would urge you to vote yes on this thing. It's, you know, we've lost a lot of our big bombers that we used to fight fire, and we're down to having to use helicopters, and it just saves so much time and so much money for the fire Forest Service or anybody who's having to fight fires to have a helicopter available, and that's why I'd like to see it become part of the budget each year, because they don't have to use them, but when it's really important to the state and to the speed of fighting fire to have them there when we do need them. So I urge you to vote yes on this concurrence.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 195. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Bechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Ewald. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Davison, aye. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Pastor. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta excused. Lockhart. Lubnow. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Patterson. Peterson. Philp. Powers. Forberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 38 ayes, 19 noes, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 195. The next message for consideration is message number 63, dealing with Senate amendments to House Bill 223. Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence to message number 4633, House Bill 223, which is suicide prevention. And I'm going to ask the good representative from Cheyenne, who's the sponsor, to explain this concurrence request.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm beginning to feel like I know what a manic depressant feels like after this bill, because every time it's gone to a new committee, they've changed it and added it and deleted it. But basically, after it made it through the Senate, they returned it to the original intent of the bill, which was to create a full-time position in the Department of Health to prevent suicide. Other additions they made, one was from Senate Labor Committee, that they interact with the State Library and national program called the Corcoran Collaboration Systematic Review, which just provides up-to-the-minute suicide information, studies, research from all over the country. The Senate as a whole felt that it was okay to allow for a full-time position in the Department of Health as long as they had yearly reports for the next 3 years. So that was an amendment to add in the yearly report. And those are the three major amendments to the bill, and I would ask for your favorable consideration and concurring.
Is there any further debate? Seeing none, we're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 223. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Ludnow, Martin, McCombie, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Filth, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Hageman, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 45 ayes, 12 noes, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 223. Next message for our consideration is message number 465, Senate amendments to House Bill 243. Chairman Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 465 to House Bill number 243, Firefighters Dependents Tuition, and ask for your favorable vote on concurrence. Essentially what this does is it sets some limitations for dependents of firefighters who were killed in active duty, and it's going to state that there will be just 10 semesters that will be paid for, that you have to be under the age of 22, and those are the changes that the Senate did, and I did speak with the sponsor of the bill, and he agreed with concurrence, so I ask for your favorable vote.
Any further questions or debate? Seeing none, we are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 243. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Dillaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Filth, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 243. Next message for our consideration, message number 46, Senate amendments to House Bill 253. Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 467, House Bill 253, apprenticeship programs, and ask you to vote aye. The Senate made a simplification amendment which took out a list of exceptions in the bill and gave the department responsibility to do that in rules and regs. They also changed the date of effectivity from July to January. And the sponsor and I urge you to vote aye.
Any further questions or debate? Seeing none, we are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 253. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Rechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Uholtz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Dillaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Filth, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 55 ayes, 2 noes, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 253. The next message for our consideration is message number 468, Senate amendments to House Bill 277. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge your support or concurrence on House Bill 277, message 468. The only change is in the effective date, and what it fundamentally says is as soon as we get all of the necessary steps taken care of, the bill becomes effective. If you recall, this bill was to help in an emergency manner an economic disaster on the eastern side of the state, and then thereafter for anybody else that has that. So I urge your vote yes on the amendment, on the concurrence.
Is there any further debate or questions? Seeing none, we are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 277. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Bechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Uholtz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Dingery, Boggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Ketterson, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 277. Next message for our consideration is message number 471, Senate amendments to House Bill 112. Representative Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence request contained in message 471 about House Bill 112, foreclosure sale proceeds. This bill had to do with updating the laws on foreclosure sales. The Senate made three amendments. They enlarged the notice of when the property was advertised for sale. They specified who gives the notice to the previous owner of the sale, and they also specified who would make the payments to the lien holders, attorneys, junior mortgagees, and the excess to the mortgagor. And then the interesting part of this amendment, Mr. Chairman, is, as everyone can see, is happens to be on page 5, line 23. You'll see the next several pages have to do with that very same amendment. And finally, on the last page, on page 3, they arrived at the language that they want each notice to include. And it's just kind of an interesting evolution of the language, and I think they really improved the bill in a couple small ways. And so I, after visiting with the sponsor, he felt that all the amendments were good and sound, and so I urge your favorable support.
Any further debate or questions? Seeing none, we are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 112. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Bechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Ketterson, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 55 ayes, 2 noes, 3 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 112. And that order of business of adoption of Joint Conference Committee reports. But before doing that, I believe we have a couple of messages from the Senate.
Message number 472. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below failed to pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 240, Establishment of Public Roads, Ayes 15, Noes 15. Signed, Ian Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 473. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 269, School Facilities, Major Maintenance Payments, Ayes 25, Noes 4, Conflict 1. Signed, Ian Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 474. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 314, Guardians Ad Litem, the House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated, Ayes 23, Noes 7. The Senate requests that the House respectfully concur by adopting the listed amendment. Signed, Ian Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 475. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 18, Grain Laws, the Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 on the report bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 27, Noes 3. Signed, Ian Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 476. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 39, Child Protection Amendments. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, Noes 0. Signed, Ian Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Now in that order of business of adoption of Joint Conference Committee reports, the list that I have are conference reports for House Bill 85, to be moved by Chairman Wasserberger, House Bill 293, to be moved by Representative Harvey, and Senate File 121, to be moved by Representative Anderson. And they're currently, in fact, it's probably being passed out right now, or I believe two more concurrences and possibly one concurrence and two joint conference reports. Again, near the end of the session, members of the House, these come in pretty quickly, and I don't want to vote on these before everyone has a chance to look at them. So if you do have questions, don't hesitate to stand up and ask about them or let me know that you want one held back. We will try and move them as quickly as we can, but there's no use voting on them if you haven't had time to review them. So we're now at that order of business of adoption of Joint Conference Committee reports. The first Conference Committee report is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1, the House Bill 85. It's in reference to Senate Message Number 337. Chairman Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Joint Conference Committee report to House Bill 85, Teacher Shortage Loan Repayment Program, and urge your favorable vote. Essentially what the conference committee and all members did sign, we deleted two of the Senate amendments, which essentially put the bill back to the way it left the House. And then we insert on page 3, line 16, a requirement that a recipient of a loan under this section may repay the loan without cash payment by teaching at least 50% of his working hours as a teacher in special ed, math, or science. And so that was the change that the conference committee made, and then we agreed to the Senate amendment, which took the loan repayment options under this section may be deferred for a period not to exceed. We did have four. We put it to 5 years while a loan recipient is serving on full-time active duty with any branch of the military service of the United States. So two really simple changes to the bill, and I would urge your favorable vote for concurrence.
Is there any further debate or discussion? Seeing none, we are voting on the motion to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 85. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Bechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buells, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Peterson.
Aye.
Peterson. Philp. Powers.
Aye.
Forberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlick. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 85. Next Joint Conference Committee Report for consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 293, reference to Senate Message Number 387. Representative Harvey.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence to Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill, to House Bill 293 and ask for your affirmative consideration. This was a new experience for me. We did not, we just concurred with the Senate, with the amendments that they had done. The one item that we wanted to go back and discuss with them was the age of the buyer. We wanted to have that as one more insulation, one more way to follow or to track was to have those driver's licenses as a way for people to remember the buyers that came in. The Senate was unwilling to move on that, and rather than lose the bill, I would urge you to vote aye on this concurrence.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we're voting on the motion to concur. We're voting on the motion to adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 293. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Retzel. Brown. Buchanan. Buell. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Astert. Hinckley. Eichel. Dillaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta excused. Lockhart. Lubnow. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Peterson. Peterson. Philp. Powers. Forberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlick. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 54 ayes, 3 noes, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 293. Next Joint Conference Committee Report is Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 121. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on Joint Conference Report on Senate File 121, which is a term of law. Let's say if you can't get what you really want, you better take what you can get. We're back to the Senate's version where it only excludes the House and Senate members, and I would urge you an aye vote on this so that we can at least get that portion off the book.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, we're voting on the motion to adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 121. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Bechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buell. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Wanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 56 ayes, 1 no, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 121. Two additional Joint Conference Committee reports have been distributed to you. The first one would be in reference to message number 453. It's Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 18. Chairman Hageman, can you tell me if you're ready to proceed on this? Clearly not. All right, we're not. Let's look at the second one that came in. That would be Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 39, Child Protection Amendments. Chairman Landon, are you ready to proceed with this?
Mr. Speaker, I am. I'll move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 39 and request your aye vote. This Senate File 39 was the Child Protection Amendment. And as you recall, we had early on the House Standing Committee had taken off the language where the Department of Family Services would establish rules for multidisciplinary teams. And we took that off in Standing Committee. There was attempts to put that back on. Those attempts failed, and the Senate agreed to accept, to adopt those House amendments. That's the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. They agreed to the House Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 also. I can't remember what that one was. It seems like it was a fairly small amendment. Yes, it was. It was just kind of cleaning up some of the language in there, brought by the good representative from Rock Springs. Then we acquiesced on two of the amendments that had been brought on the House. Both of those amendments are old language or rewriting of old language that is presently in statute, that is questionable whether or not one of them called for the DFS to be able to get a hold of a guardian ad litem and then take an action before the court without the district attorney. We didn't like that. It turns out that that has been in law since, I believe, the mid-90s, and it's never been used. And I think it was just felt by the committee that there's enough positive aspects in this bill that we should, that those who had brought those amendments, and I'm kind of speaking for them, if they want to say it differently, that's fine, that they would kind of swallow hard and bring a bill next session if they want to change those parts of the statute, because the Senate just seemed to be pretty hard and fast on wanting to leave those in.
Is there any discussion? Any discussion? No questions. We are voting on adoption of Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 39. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard.
Aye.
Berger. Bechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buell. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Hastert. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta excused. Lockhart. Lebno. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Pedersen. Peterson. Filt. Powers. Forberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger.
Aye.
Watt. White. Swanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lockhart? Aye to no. Hageman? Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 33 ayes, 24 noes, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 39. Direct to Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 18. Chairman Hageman, are you feel you're ready to proceed with the bill?
Mr. Speaker, more than ready.
Please proceed then.
I move that we do accept this conference report. We went over and met with the Senate, and we got everything changed back exactly the wording back the way it was when it left the House here. Except for on page 2, where we had the department will, by rule and regulation, require posting, and we agreed with them that we will change it to department shall. Other than that, we got the wording here back to where it was when he left here, so I think it came out a really good deal with the way we did it, and so I'd urge you to vote to accept this conference report.
Any further discussion or debate? Seeing none, we're voting on the motion to adopt Joint Conference Committee Number 1 to Senate File 18. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Bechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buholtz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Hastert. Hinckley. Eichel. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta excused. Lockhart. Lubno. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Patterson. Peterson. Phil. Powers. Forberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 56 ayes, 1 no, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to adopt Joint Conference Committee Number 1 to Senate File 18. Another request to concur has come in. That would be message number 474. Message 474 with request to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 314. Chairman Landon, are you ready to proceed?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence to House message number 474 on House Bill 314, Guardians Ad Litem. The Senate made two changes here that affected the bill. The first one concerned a report. That one seems like a good idea. The second one, I think, was an interesting effort, but I think that it's missed a little bit. The second one has to do with requiring guardians ad litem to competitively bid their services. And then it says between the county and the service provider. Well, Mr. Speaker, what we're trying to do is get a number of attorneys who are skilled as guardian ad litem throughout the state. And the way this is worded here, it could be rather restrictive by just having a contract between the county and one service provider. So we would like to take this back to the Senate and see if we can refine this. And so I ask for your nay vote.
Any further debate? Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. I understand, I believe the intent of that second reading amendment was to try and achieve some cost control in there, but the language is just too restrictive because it uses the words the service provider. Does that mean Cody gets one service provider for guardian ad litem? If we're going to restrict it so severely, we're going back to the same problems we have right now, which is lack of representation, of trained representation. And there are only a certain number of cases that a provider can work at a particular time. So let us go back with a conference and see if we can refine that language so we can all agree on something.
Representative Eichel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Further, I wanted to ask about the next amendment that the Senate made after line 8 on page 3. I just want to be able to assume that is only in there because of the prior amendment. I just assume that runs against the very nature of the role of a GAL, which is to focus solely on the best interests of the child. So I'm assuming both of those things will be challenged.
Mr. Speaker.
Is there anyone else for the first time? Second time, Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I can address that question. The intent of that amendment, as I understood it, was to at least ensure that there's some training to the attorneys who do the GAL work, to have them be aware that there are providers out there that do this for a for-profit business, and just to make them aware, I whether the language could be more artful. The standards for attorneys that will ensure their advice remains independent of private providers, which means you'd like the GAL not to be too close to the provider who might be the residential placement provider, whatever it might be, just so they're aware.
Any other discussion? Second time. Seeing none, we're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 314. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Barnard, Berger, Fretzel, Brown, Buchanan, Buell, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Day, Gilmore, Gingery, Foggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Heichel, Dillaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Towers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader excused, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Philp, aye to no. Alden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 57 noes, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 314. Conference Committee for House Bill 341. Got two different bills there. I'll have to wait on the conference committee report. We had an incorrect vote tally on that one. Members of the House, we are nearing the end of the day. There aren't any more Senate messages, so we've taken care of those. We'll get a few bills signed here, and we'll be on our way. So we're now in that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. First enrolled act for consideration is House Enrolled Act 115.
House Enrolled Act number 115, being original House Bill 262, an act relating to Aeronautics Commission.
We're about to sign House Enrolled Act number 115, being original House Bill 262. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act for consideration is 116.
House Enrolled Act number 116, being original House Bill number 93, an act relating taxation and revenue regarding sales and use tax exemption for repair.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 116, being original bill House Bill 93. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act for consideration is 117.
House Enrolled Act number 117, being original House Bill 281, an act relating to the legislature and modifying compensation provisions for them.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 117, being original House Bill 281. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Enrolled Act number 118.
House Enrolled Act number 118, being original House Bill number 329, an act relating to education, regarding a feasibility study and planning for executive training.
That's assigned House Enrolled Act number 118, being original bill, House Bill 329. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 119.
House Enrolled Act number 119, being original House Bill number 166, an act relating to aeronautics, modifying the amount which may be loaned for the development of airports.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 119, being original House Bill 166. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is number 120.
House Enrolled Act number 120, being original House Bill 201, an act relating to victim assistance providers.
About to sign House Enrolled Act number 120, being original bill House Bill 201. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is House Enrolled Act number 121.
House Enrolled Act number 121, being original House Bill number 237, an act relating to children.
About to sign House Enrolled Act number 121, being original House Bill 237. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 122.
House Enrolled Act number 122, being original House Bill 251, an act relating to child support.
About to sign House Enrolled Act number 122, being original House Bill 251.
I have so signed. Austin Road Act is 123.
Austin Road Act number 123, being original House Bill number 269, and act relating to school facilities.
That to sign and Road Act number 123, being original House Bill 269. I have so signed. Next act for consideration is Senate Enrolled Act 91.
Senate Enrolled Act number 91, being original Senate File number 14, an act relating to motor vehicles, providing for graduated driver's license permits.
I'm about to sign it, Senate Enrolled Act number 91, being original Senate File 14. I have barely signed. Next act is Enrolled Act number 92.
Senate Enrolled Act number 92, being original Senate File number 65, an act relating to Alzheimer's disease.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 92, being original Senate File 65. I have so signed. Next act is Enrolled Act 93.
Senate Enrolled Act number 93, being original Senate File number 24, an act relating to school finance.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 93, being original Senate File 24. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 94.
Senate Enrolled Act number 94, being original Senate File number 58, an act relating to prison industries program.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 94, being original Senate File 58. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 95.
Senate Enrolled Act number 95, being original Senate File number 119, an act relating to the legislature regarding the mileage rate and reimbursement.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 95, being original Senate File 119. I have so signed. Next act is Enrolled Act number 96.
Senate Enrolled Act number 96, being original Senate File number 154, an act relating to podiatrists.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 96, being original Senate File 154. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 97.
Senate Enrolled Act number 97, being original Senate File number 93, an act relating to nursing.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 97, being original Senate File 93. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 98.
Senate Enrolled Act number 98, being original Senate File 100, an act relating to the Wyoming Public Assistance and Social Services Act.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 98, being original Senate File 100. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 99.
Senate Enrolled Act number 99, being original Senate File 130, an act relating to county coroners.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 99, being original House Bill 130, Senate File 130. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 100.
Senate Enrolled Act number 100, being original Senate File 131, an act relating to school facilities.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 100, being original Senate File 131. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Enrolled Act 101.
Senate Enrolled Act number 101, being original Senate File 143, an act relating to professions and occupations regarding physician licensure.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 101, being original Senate File 143. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 102.
Senate Enrolled Act number 102, being original Senate File number 150, an act relating to the Office of the Attorney General.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 102, being original Senate File 150. I have so signed. Last Enrolled Act today is Enrolled Act 103.
Senate Enrolled Act number 103, being original Senate File number 88, an act relating to insurance regarding medical malpractice claims.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act 103, being original Senate File 88. I have so signed. Conference Committee number 1 for House Bill 314. Conference Committee number 1 for House Bill 314. Simpson Chair, Alden and Goggles.
Thank
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk. Committee announcements. Management Audit Committee will meet in room 302 upon adjournment. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, the TRW Committee, House TRW Committee, we need to meet for about 10 minutes up in the committee meeting room.
Thank you, Chairman Childers. Any other announcements? Seeing none, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until tomorrow, Wednesday, March 2nd at 10 a.m.
You heard the motion. All in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. House is adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.